For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And the payoff pitch on the way to Will Smith. Swing and a miss, and the Cubs win the ball game. 10-4 the final. Cubs did a lot of things right in this one, and they walk away with what turned out to be a lopsided 10-4 victory.
That was Pat Hughes with the call right there. The Cubs get the victory last night, 10-4 against the Dodgers. The next game of the set happening tonight, 9:10 p.m. Pregame begins in just over a half an hour. 8:35, Zach Zabin got your call. Tonight, Shota Imanaga going up against Yamamoto, and we get to talk about the unique pitching matchup, what happened last night, and then what to expect from today's game from our next guest, who is joining us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circuit Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, covers the Cubs for the Marquee Sports Network. It is none other than Andy Martinez. Andy, how's it going, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, hanging in there, man. I feel like I'm the only, I talked about this last time with you, I'm the only optimistic person that's surrounding this Cubs team. I don't want to say fan, but like the only optimistic person out here. But let's stay in the present. Let's talk about yesterday's game first. Cubs were able to get out to an early lead in this one. Why do you think they were able to have so much success against Walker Buehler in the first inning?
Yeah, it's probably, I like to think, and this is just like no like data or anything, but I like to think Michael Bush and Cody Bellinger were just like, this is our old team. Like, let's show them what's up. Like,
some old school metrics.
Just simple. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The old school metrics. They obviously carried the offense, and it's interesting. They're 3-1 against the Dodgers this year, right? And they swept the Orioles. Like, the good, some of the best teams in baseball. Like, they played pretty well against. And yesterday was no difference. And it was good offensive output by Cody Bellinger and Michael Bush. And it kind of just goes to show that how deep the Dodgers organization is too. Like, that was kind of another takeaway of me. It's like, yeah, they were able to look at Cody Bellinger and Michael Bush and be like, yeah, they're not good enough. They're excess. Like, we're going to part ways. And it's like, man, like, you are really blessed with talent if you're able to do something like that.
Yeah, that's certainly the case, but that's such a great point, right? I mean, Cody, even in the post game with Taylor McGregor, he had this smile in his voice, and he's like, yeah, Walker's my guy. It's my first time going up against him. I mean, we know guys like that, right? Like, if you follow baseball, these guys want to play against each other because they end up talking trash the whole time, and then finally they get the moment in real time in an actual Major League Baseball game, and they want to take full advantage of it. Michael Bush, obviously, you know, had himself a game. I look at the lineup, Andy, and to me, I love the consistency of it. Are you a fan of that? Because, you know, Michael Bush, obviously, in moments throughout the season, he was at the top of the lineup. You know, you see them put Dansby at the two spot today. I mean, but it looks more consistent than it ever has. Are you a fan of that, or do you like riding a hot hand or trying things out throughout the season?
Yeah, it's tough. Like, the purist in me is like, or like the baseball purist in me is like, the guy's hitting well, like hit him number two, like every day until you change it. But like, just talking to guys and being in the clubhouse and being around it, like, guys like consistency and like being able to go in day out and like knowing what it's going to, like, basically what each day is going to be like, right? Like, they don't want to know like, oh, am I hitting first today? Am I hitting sixth? Am I hitting ninth? Am I hitting third? Like, they don't want to be bouncing around like that. They want the stability of like, all right, basically every single day I'm either going to be hitting first or like in like Michael Bush's cases, like maybe I'm moving down now. Like, they want that stability. They want that even keel like presence. And that's something like all across the board has been kind of like that through this whole season, right? When things were going well, just a couple weeks ago, when they had won six in a row, or they had swept the Nationals and they had swept the Pirates, like, Craig Council was basically the same guy he was as when they were going really, really bad in May and June. Like, the whole team is like very much like, just come in every single day and like do your work, which, like, as fans, I know fans, you know, I've seen the discourse on Twitter, I've heard it on the radio. Like, I know fans don't want to hear that, right? Like, they want to see, like, when things are going bad, like, get mad and like, really get like try and turn things around or like, but that's just not how it works with baseball. Like you play every single day, like you're going to lose a lot of games and you're going to win a lot of games. You just have to stay like even keel throughout the 6 month process, because it's just so long that you can't really ride the waves like that in this game.
We're talking to Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Cubs going to be starting in just over an hour, 9:10 p.m. against the Dodgers. Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you're looking at the lineup, because I guess now you're at the point where you have to kind of try to figure out where the holes are in your team, right? Where you have a 3% chance to make the playoffs. People have been feeling a certain type of way about the Cubs for some time now, for some weeks, I should say. And, you know, you really have to take a true look at yourself or the team and say, all right, this is not good enough. So when you look at this Cubs team, what areas do you say, or what position or area, you know, whatever that might look like for you, when you say like this particular thing is not good enough if the Cubs want to compete at the highest level in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that's the question that Jed Hoyer and the Cubs front office are asking themselves, you know, these last few weeks of the season, and then really the whole month of October before free agency and the offseason really kicks off. And to me, it's just really, it just comes down to consistency on the field, right? I talked about the consistency, like off the field and in their approach and with the lineup and things like that. But like, this team just wasn't consistent enough, right? Like April was really, really good. May and June were really, really strong. Like it was a real struggle for the team. July was like a little bit over 500. August was really great. August was just as good as April, but they had dug themselves such a hole in May and June that, kind of like last year, they dug themselves too deep of a hole to come back out. You have to find some consistency where, like, yeah, you're going to have some losing streaks, right? Like every team loses games. And in this game, like I said, like you're going to lose three or four in a row, but it's how do you limit that when you lose two or three, you stop it at three and you're able to get a win and maybe win a couple to mitigate that losing streak. It's finding that consistency. And to me, like when I look back at what was going wrong in May and June, it was a combination of like, yes, the bullpen you and I had talked about it on the radio, like in the time, like, right. Like they're trying to figure out what their bullpen is and like, who's their closer. Cause Adbert was struggling and then hurt at that time. And
yeah.
Merriweather was hurt and all these different things were going on. But at the same time, it was like the offense wasn't scoring enough that every single night, it felt like it was a close game and you had to pitch to these leverage arms that I don't care if you have the best bullpen in baseball, if you're going to them every single day over a span of seven games, like they're going to wear out and you're going to have blown saves. You're going to have blown games. They have to be able to blow some teams out, which is a thing that they did last year really well. And they're just not, they just didn't do it this year. We saw it in stretches here in August, especially in Pittsburgh and Washington, where they were scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah.
And able to rest some of their bullpen. But like, you got to find that consistency where like you're able to have, you're not relying on your key bullpen guys every single day early on in the season. And you're putting up enough runs that you're able to kind of play with the lead and then maybe figure out some roles for some other guys in the bullpen.
Yeah, the most difficult part, you know, in addition to that, right, is even if you find a hole, there was probably a moment or two throughout the season where you can point to and be like, but is it a hole, right? Where you're like, oh, the bullpen or the pitching is not performing particularly well. Oh, well, since June, they're one of the better bullpens in baseball. Oh, they've struggled offensively. Oh, well, there's moments when they've put up tons of runs. So it's like, you kind of struggle with, you know, really trying to identify what that looks like. But, you know, that's why you play the games, and there's obviously still a handful left, including tonight's in Monaco going up against Yamamoto. I mean, geez, right? When you're talking about these two guys, just dominant pitchers, I mean, how do you, first of all, talk to me about what the difference in pitching styles between the two guys when you've checked them out and what you've noticed.
Yeah, with Yamamoto, it's interesting because he hasn't pitched a whole lot, right? Like he was hurt. He got hurt. He had the shoulder strain and was on the 60-day IL, missed a lot of time. And we really haven't seen, like, he's been good. Like, if you just saw his ERA, you'd be like, wow, this guy's as good as advertised. And then you see his, like, innings pitch and everything else. It's like, all right, well, you know, he's not giving, he's missed a lot of time. I'm kind of curious to see, like, what he is tonight and then moving forward for the Dodgers, where it's like, they've had a lot of starting pitching questions in LA. Like, for as good as they've been, their starting pitching has been really, really shaky. Yeah. With a lot of injuries that, like, if this guy's healthy and is pitching well, like, that's a nice little boost to them. And just to see him, like, there was a lot of pizzazz and flash around him when he came over from Japan. And we really haven't seen like peak Yamamoto. And in a lot of ways, Shota is like kind of quite the opposite, right? He was the other free agent, right? Like that's how it almost felt like all off season last year. It was like, there's Yamamoto, and then there's Shota. And Shota's been just purely this year miles ahead of Yamamoto, just based on the fact that he's been healthy all season. He was part of a no-hitter in his last outing, and he was an all-star, and he's been really, really good this year as a whole. Like, I don't think even in their wildest imagination, the Cubs thought, like, he would be this good
right.
when he came over. Like, he has been an ace-level pitcher for them, and it's been a nice surprise. Like, he has been a really, really fun pitcher to watch, and you know, we were talking about it after the no-hitter. Tony and Jackie and I were talking about it, and I wrote a little bit about it on MarquiSportsNetwork.com, where it's like, every time you watched him, it was like, well, he can't impress you because he's already impressed. Like, he's already done everything. Like, what else can he do? Oh, he throws a no-hitter tonight, or is part of a no-hitter. Like, okay. Like, well, now I think we're at the point where it's like, nothing he does should it shock you, or, like, you won't be impressed by it, just because, like, he's proven he can do almost anything on a major league field.
Yeah, and the guy opposite of him, I mean, obviously, you know, or excuse me, Yamamoto, who's going to be opposite of Imanaga, I mean, it's just, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, he does have some good stuff. So when you're looking at these Cubs hitters, Andy, for tonight's game, what do you feel like the best strategy is for them against a guy like Yamamoto, who obviously, you know, killer against left-handed hitters, holding, they're only batting 190 against them. So, I mean, what's the approach for a guy that doesn't have a ton of tape on him, but, you know, he still has good stuff?
Yeah, I think it's definitely work up the pitch count, get them out of the game early, right? They had to go to their bullpen early, so they're already a little thin. To make a move or to clear a spot on their roster, they had to DFA one of their relief pitchers to activate Yamamoto. So rack up that pitch count, get them out of the game early so that you can go back to that bullpen that's already a little tired. I think that's the plan. Yamamoto's probably not stretched out. I'd be shocked if he wasn't on a pitch limit, an innings limit of some sort, where, you know, he's probably not going to be going deep into games. So if you can work some counts, get the pitch count up early, I mean, I think you give yourself a chance to really dig into the bullpen and really take advantage, kind of like they did last night.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Dodgers are going to have the same approach. I mean, that is their approach, right? Every game, they draw a lot of walks. It's just what they do. You know, but Imanaga's walk rate, you know, is, you know, high. And when you're looking at what he's doing in comparison to, you know, where he's successful at, how do you see him holding up against, you know, a Dodgers team that is extremely patient?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. One of the first bad outing for Shota Imanaga earlier this year is when he had seen the team the second time, right? He saw the Mets the second time, and they kind of took advantage of it. It seemed like every time he was facing a team that hadn't seen him, he was going out there and giving you six innings with one or no earned runs and like eight strikeouts, and then the Mets saw him a second time and really, really hit him up. And he's been better against teams the second and third time. Like, he pitched well against the Pirates after seeing him a couple of times. The Dodgers saw him already in April, way back in April. But like, this is going to be an interesting test for him. Like, how does he hold up? I know he talked with Taylor McGregor yesterday about like how cool it is to be pitching against Yamamoto. I think it's going to be cool for the Japanese market, who is like totally invested in this, because they'll have Shohei on an MVP chase. Seiya Suzuki was having a nice season, and then Shota and Yamamoto. Like, I think it's going to be a fun matchup for everyone involved. And I know especially closely in Japan, they're going to be following this game for sure.
Yeah, everybody's going to be watching this. I'm trying to download the Marquee app just so I can watch this one tonight, because I know how good it's going to be. We're talking to Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you until pregame begins at 8:35. You know, I keep reading about this marine layer effect in Dodger Stadium. And I've been to Dodger Stadium before. I've gone there once. It was a day game, so I didn't really experience this. But is this, Mookie Betts had no problem pulling the homer out yesterday. Like, is this really a thing that, like, people should be concerned about if they're, you know, betting on this game, Andy?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's as drastic as the Wrigley wins, right? Like, I don't think it's like you see the lake and here in Chicago, you see the lake and you see it with big waves. You probably know not anything's getting out of the ballpark, but like, maybe it does have some effect. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not a marine level expert or like anything like that. Like, the extent of my weather knowledge is like, all right, so the wind's blowing in today at Wrigley. Like, and I see the winds blowing. I see the flags blowing in. Like, I saw the waves on the drive in. Like, all right, I have an idea of like kind of what to expect. I think it's a little different when you're in LA and you haven't been there, or you're not there every single day, kind of like Wrigley.
Yeah, that's certainly a bigger difference. All right, before I let you go, you know, we talked about, You know, I mentioned Mookie getting the homer yesterday. Belly obviously getting one as well. But I feel like in order to win this game, the Cubs are going to need to be leaning on someone else, not just their big bats or their aircraft carriers, as some would call them. So who's an X factor? Who's somebody that's not named Cody Bellinger that the Cubs should be leaning on to get this victory today?
Yeah, I'll give you two, and it's going to go to the bottom of the order. It's PCA and Miguel Amaya. Like those two, the bottom of the order has been like the turning point for the Cubs offense this summer. Like when they kind of turned it around, it was PCA, Amaya, Bethancourt, and then obviously Dansby when he was hitting in the seventh spot. Like if those guys are hitting, if those guys are doing their thing, like that really lengthens the lineup, especially tonight against Yamamoto. Those guys are hitting. Like he knows those aren't free outs. I gotta actually have a game plan against these guys, unlike in May and June when you're facing PCA or Maya or Tomas Nito, whoever the backup catcher at the time was. Like you knew you had a couple free outs at the bottom of the lineup. That isn't the case anymore. Like that's going to be the key, and it's going to be the key, you know, for the last few weeks of the season with this team, is like seeing the development of especially Miguel Amaya and PCA and then how they do offensively, because that's going to be a key point next year. As I mentioned, like if they want to be consistent and have a strong season next year, like having consistency from that bottom of the order for all 6 months and not having a lull for 2 months is going to be crucial. So that's what I'm going to be keeping an eye on tonight and then over the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's been really cool to watch PCA, right? I think, you know, a lot of people want instant gratification, but it was almost like a perfect blueprint, right, Andy? Like how they brought him along over the last couple of seasons, you know, and then to see it come to fruition with top-tier talent, top defense, you know, the relying on the bat. I mean, talk to me about, you know, the last couple of years and PCA's run, because I know you've been following it for a while.
Yeah, and it's like something that I think kind of gets overthought. Like I think sometimes, and I've fallen into this trap, a lot of people have fallen into this trap, like you kind of see the Chris Bryant, or Kyle Schwarber, like pick your player from the 2016 era team, like where they get to the major leagues and right away they're like rookie of the year, then MVP, like they're like elite. And that's kind of what you expect out of every prospect, right? Like you expect every prospect to just come up and just be phenomenal. And that's like far from the case. Jackson Holliday was the consensus number one prospect in baseball this year. He comes up and really, really struggled. They demoted him after a week or a few games, like it wasn't very long. They sent him back down to AAA. And then he came up and kind of has started to figure it out. And I think PCA is a prime example of that, right? Like he used more foul language than I'll use, but he said it's hard up here, right? Like getting to the major leagues is really, really hard. It's hard to hit a major league slider. Like all those things are real. And the jump from AAA to the majors is as big as it's ever been. And I think it's important to realize like when these prospects come up, they're very, very likely just going to fail and not be good when they come up. And that's okay. Like that does not mean that's who they are. And I think PCA is a prime example of like, you're going to come up and you probably aren't going to be good enough. And you're probably going to really, really struggle, but that's how you get better. And that's how maybe you can come turn it around and impact the team. Kind of like how he's done the last few months.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been such a bright, refreshing thing because, you know, being able to move Belly over, right? Being able to add some more creativity to your lineup or at least give yourself the freedom to do that in the event you need it, you know, comes when a guy like PCA steps up. And that leads me to my last question, because, you know, I know you love the young players, right? Because you follow them closely. Are you bummed that, you know, you're not seeing a particular player in September play for the Chicago Cubs?
No, like, I mean, I think, like,
it's, I know you, Andy.
Yeah, like, no.
I know you, Andy.
No. Like, it's tough. Like, I think back to last year when, like, Alexander Cornario came up and everyone was excited about, like, you know, here's one of these young prospects coming up and you know, he's going to be awesome when he gets to the major leagues. And there just isn't a spot for a lot of these players right now. And like, I think the worst thing you can do for a player right now, especially while the AAA season's still going and there's an opportunity to get regular at bats, like I think the worst thing you can do is be like, all right, come on out to the major leagues and sit for 2 weeks, right? Maybe you'll see an at bat once a week. Like, I don't think that's helping the player develop at all. It's not fun for the fans either. Like, you're excited about this guy and then he's just sitting on the bench. Like, I totally get it. Like, there just isn't a spot right now. And I think until the Cubs are mathematically, like, for sure eliminated from the playoffs, it's going to be hard to try and find those regular everyday at-bats for young players like that.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, they got one of the best farm systems in the league. They're just stacking up talent down there. But they're eventually going to need some of those players over the next couple of seasons if they want to compete at the highest level. Do you think the Mets are going to hold on to that spot, the last wild card spot?
They look a lot better than the Braves of recently. Yeah, like a couple weeks ago I would have said it's the Braves and no questions because they have an easier schedule. But I think they still have the easiest schedule. I haven't checked in a few days, but I think they still have the easiest schedule remaining over the last 15, 16 games, whatever it is. But I don't know. The Mets just look red hot, and Lindor is playing like an MVP and carrying that team. That, like, it's kind of hard not to think that the Mets can pull this thing out.
Yeah, when you're hot, you're hot. And when you're feeling good, you're certainly feeling good. Well, I feel good after this conversation, Andy. Look forward to having it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Andy Martinez, Marquee Sports Network. Make sure you follow him on social media. Him and I have a mutual friend that I was supposed to have coffee with this morning. Got to text him back. I was watching the kids today. What do you want me to do? I was watching the kids. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out here on 670 The Score. Cubs going to be taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Imanaga versus Yamamoto. First pitch, 9:10. Pre-game begins in just about 13 minutes. I did want to let you guys know a couple of things. First and foremost is that Shane Reardon, he's going to be hanging out for a football watch party this Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Now, here's the funny thing. The watch party is from 6 to 8, but the game's still going to be going on. So good luck getting Shane out of that place to, like, watch it on his phone while he's driving home. No, he's going to watch the whole game there. So he's getting paid for 6 to 8, and that's when you should be there, and that's when the fun things are happening. But most certainly, I'm sure he's going to stick around to watch it. That'll be happening at the Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinemas when Chicago takes on Houston in primetime. You can enjoy some great food and drink and watch the game on the Wall's massive screen. Again, that's Sunday from 6 to 8 with Shane Reardon at the Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinema. All right. On the other side, some last second thoughts before I send you out to Zach Zaidman with the pregame for the Cubs. We'll do that on the other side. Again, last minute thoughts on the Cubs and how I think this whole thing will go down. We'll do that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez. Live and local, right before the Cubs game, right here on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a beautiful Tuesday here in Chicago. Cubs taking on the Dodgers. Pregame begins 8:35. Zach Zaidman got the call. Of course, Pat and Ron will be taking care of you. 9:10 first pitch right here on 670 The Score. Going to take a quick trip around Major League Baseball, give you some scores. The Tigers just crushed Colorado Rockies today, 11-0. Pirates beat the Miami Marlins 6-4. Atlanta trying to stay in that wild card race, beat the Washington Nationals 12-0 on that one. It's going to be a tight race that we'll all be watching closely, especially if the Cubs continue to put some victories together. The Phillies up 9-4 on Tampa. KC up 5-0 on the Yankees. The Mets, who we were just talking about with Andy Martinez, are down 5-2 to the Toronto Blue Jays. So some ground to be had there for the Chicago Cubs. In the AL, Sox losing 4-0 to the Guardians. Reds beating the Cardinals 3-0. And then the A's are up 2-0 on the Astros. Might want to go ahead and check that one out, see if the Astros can bounce back and get some stuff done. Of course, again, as I mentioned, Shota Imanaga getting a start for the Chicago Cubs today. He'll be going up against Yoshinobu Yamamoto today. My boy Chap gave me a little tidbit and saying that maybe Yamamoto's strikeouts over 4.5 is a good bet today. And that Shota Imanaga's walks at 2 walks is plus money. It's a patient, just like I talked about Andy Martinez, patient Dodgers team. 2 walks at plus money might be something you want to look at as well. And then don't forget, Ron Coomer in the pregame, he gives out some bets as well. And you want to take a listen to those because I feel like my guy Coom is always on point. All right, play my music for me, Alex Coon. Want to thank my guests for today. And what a day it was. Felt good being on the air. Want to thank Hub Arkish for hanging out with me today and talking some Bears football. Want to thank Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. Don't forget to check her out Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. on NFL Game Day Morning. Great stuff there as always. And then, of course, Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network for giving us some insight into the Chicago Cubs. Want to thank my producer today, Alex Coon.
Boing, boing, boing.
That's great. Alex Coon and I have shared some special moments in the West Loop. That's why we'll always be friends forever. All right, you guys. Next time, actually this weekend, I'm going to go watch the Bears play Houston. So I won't be on your radios this weekend with the better angle, but you should follow me, Chicago_Gabe. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter, and I'll follow you back while I'm walking towards my car. All right, coming up, Zach Zaman with the pregame for Cubs-Dodgers. First pitch, 9:10 p.m. Make sure you're here for it. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I am Gabe Ramirez.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.